The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Let's head to the BetQL guest hotline. Get 3 free days of BetQL access. Just download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Say good morning to Sean Syed, Sumer Sports, senior NFL analyst, co-host of the Stats and Scheme podcast. Get more information at SumerSports.com. Sean, thanks for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it so much. You know, it's an exciting time to be talking Washington Commanders football, so I'm excited to be doing it.
Hey, Sean, I'm trying to figure out, so I'm looking at your Twitter profile, and I see that you went to William & Mary Law School. How did you go from somebody that was going to be a lawyer to somebody that's diagramming football plays?
You know, it kind of happened at the same time where I was very lucky to grow up playing football. I was able to be around some really smart coaches and just always stay kind of connected to the game. And, you know, even while I was doing some lawyering, I was certainly writing some articles on the side. Hopefully don't tell my bosses too much about that. But it was a really, really lucky opportunity where I was just continuing to study, whether it was law, whether it was the game of football, and got this really, really cool opportunity at Sumer Sports, where it's a company that I think combines some of the analytics that sometimes people look a little bit down upon, but then also really that football side to combine, where when I think about how, you know, some of our numbers looked at Jaden Daniels, you combine a company that is doing statistics with real kind of football work, and I certainly feel incredibly lucky, but also proud of my time at William & Mary Law, even though the law license, you know, it's getting a little bit dusty at this point.
Yeah. So I can relate.
So, Sean, I was checking out your Monday morning mashup on SumerSports.com and reading the matter meter. How much does what we saw on Sunday actually matter? And you said it definitely matters that the Washington Commanders can win the NFC East because of, you know, wow, the upheaval with the Eagles. We've seen Daniel Jones obviously struggle with the New York Giants, the Cowboys. They're one CeeDee Lamb injury away, in my opinion, from just becoming a train wreck on offense. And you, in this article, you say Jaden Daniels is the driving force behind Commanders' excitement so far this season, and for good reason. Give us some of those reasons why everybody obviously is excited about Jaden.
For Jaden Daniels coming into the draft, there were a lot of questions, I think, in the public space. People were asking, does he take too many sacks when he gets pressured? Does he go through all of his reads? Will he be able to throw over the middle of the field? And what's been so awesome is he's answered those questions so, so directly on film, where sometimes it doesn't matter what he says in the interview room because he's showing you on the field. And it's an offense that I think coming into the year, I think people certainly were concerned about Cliff Kingsbury, but it is an offense that actually really loved the running game. I think Anthony Lynn, running game coordinator, deserves a lot of credit where you're using different formations and helping just making things more manageable, where Jaden Daniels is happy to throw some of those underneath throws if you're going to play off, but he's going to go for the big shot play after play. So certainly, you know, a stretch of the season that is going to test the Washington Commanders, but thinking about how they perform so far and how everyone else in that division, you look at the Eagles, they have a lot of injuries on offense. They have a lot of concerns on defense. Like you mentioned with the Cowboys, they're, you know, searching for some more answers in their run defense. And then also, as you mentioned, outside of CeeDee Lamb, they need to find a second pass catcher. And, you know, the Giants are the Giants. I'm from that area originally, but I think we see what's going on there as well. So if someone doubts that they can win the division, I would say, you know, I just don't think that's true because they really can push where they've shown that they can compete over and over. And again, they have a tough part of the schedule, but looking around that division, they're a team that has to be able to end the season on top.
Back to the Eagles. Defensively, they kind of have been up and down. What did you see against Tampa? Baker just shredded them.
Yeah, it was a lot of issues for the Eagles defense where they have Vic Fangio, who is a really famous defensive coordinator, and they were, you know, not able to cover long enough in zone coverage for their pass rush to get home. And even in the snap that they did, their pass rush is not really able to affect the quarterback that much. And then they move to man coverage to try and make things a little bit tighter, but then Baker's able to scramble. So their defense really all day was kind of beat up and down the field where they're scrambling a little bit, I think, where at that slot cornerback position, certainly they're hoping that their rookie Cooper DeJean is going to be able to fill in at the bye. And I think that Eagles fans can certainly point to they had a lot of injuries on offense. They still have an amazing offensive line when Lane Johnson is coming back. They have an offense, a great receiver room when A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are back there. But I don't know, if you look at how the quarterbacks have played in the division this year, and you could certainly make a case for Jane Daniels at least being the second best quarterback there right now.
Yeah, I never thought I would say this, but he might be the best right now. I mean, the way he's playing, the things that are jumping out at me are the poise, the calmness under pressure. And then, frankly, at this point now, we've seen most of the throws. There were questions. They said, he only threw go routes in college. You talked about the sacks that he took in college. But I'm seeing him make, like, second and third reads, tight window throws, throwing guys open. Like, my only concern at this point is kind of the frame and staying healthy. But he's even evolved as a slider in the last few weeks.
It's so impressive, because when you watch a guy's college tape, and sometimes you just don't see them use it in a certain way. And now look, you think about Jaden Daniels, you think about how Malik Nabers looks for the Giants. If I had Malik Nabers on my team, all I would do is throw vertical throws to him too.
Yeah,
and you got
right.
Brian Thomas Jr. there too, who
right.
looked great in Jacksonville. So like, I don't blame Jaden Daniels for what his film looked like at LSU, but you do ask yourself, okay, is this because the team? Is this because a guy can't do it? And I think you face that maybe for some other rookie quarterbacks, but he's just answered the questions so emphatically. And it is, of course, you know, you're 4 weeks into his rookie campaign, and he's hopefully has, of course, a very, very long career, but he's improved every week. You know, he's throwing just an incredibly accurate ball, which is translated from college. And I agree with you, where the poise in the pocket, the NFL game is so fast. Of course, you know, you saw tons of SEC defenses. Like, this is still a different game. And for him to be able to look so comfortable and I think be really decisive is something where his decision making is good. He has the physical tools, and then you combine things outside of the pass game, also the run game. I'm glad you mentioned, you know, his ability to slide, because certainly none of us wanted to see Jaden Daniels take any more like Looney Tunes style hits. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to see that from Daniels, where look, you play the Browns, you're going to get a really, really good pass rush, particularly with Myles Garrett. I think we'll continue to learn more about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, so that's my next question, Sean. How do you feel about this game against Cleveland? Cleveland has scored 66 points in four games.
We should destroy right. them.
Washington's basically doubled that.
We should destroy them.
Cleveland hasn't played a real tough schedule either. I mean, they beat Jacksonville, and Jacksonville hadn't won a game yet. And then the last two games were the losses to the Giants and to the Raiders. But like you mentioned, this will be the best pair of ends that Washington will face all year with Garrett and Smith. But Cleveland just can't score.
Yeah, and look, if you can't score, you can't win in this league. And Cleveland has certainly really struggled on offense in a lot of different ways. I think their quarterback situation is pretty rough right now. I think that they're kind of trying to find answers around it. And then when we think about the Cleveland Browns defense, which is very good, and they're going to even by some of the numbers, they're maybe a little bit closer to league average this year. When you have Myles Garrett on your defense, it's still going to be a good defense. So I think finding different ways, when I think about how the Cowboys treated the Browns, where you're moving the pocket, you know, you're just finding different ways to really literally run away from Myles Garrett because he can ruin your game. At the same time, you know, I've been pretty impressed with this Washington offensive line, where I think coming into the year, I didn't like project this as a unit that was going to really impress me, but even like against Arizona, a lot of those guys look really good, certainly in run blocking, but also in pass blocking. So I'm not saying, hey, let's play one-on-one football with Myles Garrett all the time, but I do think this is a game that Washington should win. And I think coming into the season, for me to look at this and say, hey, Washington should be favorite, I think that's really exciting. Just now, this is a team that should be able to compete consistently, where I feel very good about the offense, where after 4 weeks, I think you're looking at some of their numbers on really like a historic four-game pace, and you know, things will level out a little bit. You have some concerns about the defensive side of the ball, but I think that those issues may not show themselves against this Cleveland offense.
We're joined by Sean Syed, Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst, co-host of the Stats and Scheme podcast. You can read his work at sumersports.com. So you talked about scoring points. That's the name of the game. It's how you win in the NFL in 2024. And no team was better at it in the first 2 weeks than the Saints. They poured 91 points out in two games. The last 2 weeks, not so much. 36 points in two losses. How do they regain that magic that they had in the first 2 weeks? What do you see happening there in New Orleans?
Yeah, the Saints had this really, really great start against Carolina, against Dallas, against maybe defenses that aren't the top defenses in the league, but they did a really good job taking stress off of their offensive line, where they get against the Eagles in that week three matchup where the Eagles really just beat them up kind of up and down the field because the Eagles found ways to make them block one-on-one. And it's really hard to do that in the league, and it's particularly hard to do that when you have some holes at the offensive line. But, you know, I think Clint Kubiak has had a really good start where they're a team that is going to kind of get into heavy personnel. They're going to kind of pull everyone together and force you inside and then run a kind of a play-action pass, a pass past you. So, you know, you hate to have the Chiefs on the schedule whenever you're a team that wants to bounce back. We'll see them all together on Monday night. But I do think the defense in New Orleans is playing well, where they didn't even let up an offensive touchdown against the Falcons in that loss. And I think Derek Carr has shown that throughout the season that he's been able to be a positive player. You, of course, have a really good receiver in Chris Olave, someone in Rashid Shaheed who is really, really fast, but also just a quality player. So I think that, you know, you have to continue to pound through at that run game. Alvin Kamara has had a good year. Sometimes that takes a little bit of stress off of your offensive line, and that can help you set up some of those play-action passes where they're certainly hoping to get those back on track.
What are your thoughts on the Niners' offense? Looks like McCaffrey's going to be out, if not, you know, for a considerable part of the season, maybe for the entire year. He's got tendonitis in both Achilles, not good. Jordan Mason's been a really good backup, but he's carried the ball a bunch. So if he went down, they're relying on a rookie, Isaac Garendo. Debo's been hurt. Ayuk hasn't done anything. Kittle made an unbelievable catch last week, a touchdown catch, but he's been banged up. So, you know, they're 2-2, but the Seahawks can score, and the Seahawks lead that division right now. Your thoughts on the Niners going forward?
When I watch the Niners film, I'm really, really most impressed with what Brock Purdy is doing. You mentioned all of those injuries, and for a lot of these quarterbacks, it's sometimes you can't take them out of the situation because it's not like all their players are going to get hurt. And then it happens to the 49ers where Kyle Shanahan has to draw things around a lot of different players. So I do think seeing how Purdy is connecting with Juwan Jennings has like two straight games with these amazing catches. I do think San Francisco can continue to have a high-end offense, obviously because of their offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, which I know everyone's so familiar about in Washington, but Purdy is showing the ability to operate within the system. But then when things break down, he can be a positive player. Now, he's not going to be Jaden Daniels outside the pocket by any means, but if you're in that system and then now you're able to add on a little bit, and look, it's fun watching quarterbacks grow. I think sometimes I'm a little bit hard on quarterbacks, just like, oh, I want them to get better. But Purdy is really kind of incrementally, it feels like he's adding to his game after game and over multiple seasons to a place where I just think the 49ers offense is still going to be good. Now, of course, it doesn't have the same high-end ceiling when you're missing Christian McCaffrey, who might be the best running back in the league, and you have so many guys banged up. But I do still think that from an offensive end, they're a high-quality unit. And then you have top-end players on the defense between Fred Warner, between Nick Bosa, who their defense, I think, has continued to fall off just a little bit by a little bit, but they still have stars that can end the game for you there.
Hey, Sean, if you are Shane Steichen in Indy, do you toss the keys to Joe Flacco with Anthony Richardson dealing with this hip injury? I mean, he's got a problem finishing his NFL games. I mean, the guy just gets injured a lot in his short NFL career, and we've seen Flacco. He did it last year in Cleveland. He comes in, and he has an immediate grasp of the offense. He just obviously looks better passing the ball than Richardson at this point. What do you do if you're in Indy?
I mean, Anthony Richardson is such an enigma because he will be able to drop a ball in a bucket from like 65 yards out, but then it'll be a 5-yard throw where he will sail it. And it's frustrating because he can do things on a football field that no other player can do. And then there are things that most people can do that he is struggling with at times. And I really think this year is just about raising that floor for Anthony Richardson, where this game against the Steelers was pretty frustrating because he starts off really hot, throws a really nice ball to Michael Pittman, and feels like he's in rhythm, and you're just trying to stack good days for Anthony Richardson where he just needs to be able to play. Like, he hasn't played a ton of football since high school, and he's obviously, you know, really one season at Florida and then had the injury last year. I would certainly want him to get healthy. I wouldn't rush him back because, again, I think that the most important thing for the Colts, and the Colts franchise is going to be defined by this for the next at least 5 years, just how Anthony Richardson develops. And I think Shane Steichen, you know, he obviously put together a good offense with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. I think that there were exciting things about them last year where they were even able to put things together behind Gardner Minshew. But I just think you need Richardson to get healthy. And I don't know, does it mean that you run him maybe a little bit less? You know, you could say that, but certainly quarterbacks still get hurt in the pocket. So I just really want Anthony Richardson to get healthy because I just don't know about him. Like, I want that type of quarterback to be able to succeed in the league, because we talk about there's the too high safeties and offense is down, but this guy can just throw straight past a defense. So I'm hoping that he's able to get healthy, and you know, that type of skill set, that type of athletic profile is one that I prefer to bet on.
Sean, not a lot of bright spots coming out of Jacksonville. Obviously, they're winless, but one of them is the rookie wideout that Jaden used to throw balls to at LSU, and Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, he leads them by receiving yardage by, looks like, over 100 by Christian Kirk. He's got 275, Kirk at 169. I mean, he's a full-blown alpha at wideout, and looks like they hit on him. I think he was like the 19th or 20th pick in the first round. Got good value with him, too.
Yeah, but when I got to talk to Brian Thomas Jr. a little bit just at the draft, because when I saw him at LSU, you know, he runs that kind of starting on one side of the formation, you're running kind of a deep crosser, and just talking to him about his route process, I was really impressed hearing that from him, and certainly a thoughtful player in how he's able to execute, and that shows up on the field. Because again, we talk about, oh, you know, does a player's college tape show X, Y, or Z, but he can run a lot of routes. He can really run the full route tree, which I think has been impressive to watch on film, and certainly a bright spot in a situation that is just, it's really, really tough over there. You hope that he's able to continue having a connection with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I'm not sure if they'll be able to kind of dig out of the hole this year, but again, having that bright spot receiver is just, it's such a good thing to have. And it just morphs how a defense plays you. Right? It really, really changes how coverages look. It changes how the defense plays against the run. So to have that impact early on in your career is really just awesome. For now, we've seen a lot of guys from the LSU offense succeed early in the season.
Sean, thanks so much for the time, man. We'll have to book you again. You were great.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yep,
thanks,
of course, buddy. That's Sean Syed, Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst, co-host of the Stats and Scheme podcast. You can read his work at sumersports.com. Coming up in just about 25 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Metallica at Northwest Stadium, so stay tuned for your chance to win. Heads up for you Metallica nerds, we will give away the tickets for their show at EB's favorite corporate name stadium. That's Northwest Stadium.
Ugh. You know what? You're right, though. All these stadiums have awful names now.
A lot of them do.
They really do.
So we'll do that at 8:45. We'll do the Name That Obscure Metallica Tune. We'll do that at 8:45. So get ready. I'll tell you when to call. Not quite yet. Soon. It's right around the corner. All right, let's do the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis for a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture.
On Tuesdays, we like to play True or False. Ooh. True or False Tuesdays, and we're going to start with something we played a little bit earlier on the show, and we can take calls on it. Damian Woody from ESPN went so far as to say Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC. We have some clips that we can play. Oh. Is he true or false? Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC?
I don't know.
What can you tell us right now? What statement are you willing to make right this moment about Jaden Daniels?
Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now. I'm going to repeat again. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now.
Is that true, Jason Bishop?
He's playing the best. I'll say that. I mean,
I'll give you some NFC quarterbacks.
They've scored 121 points.
I'll say false. I'll go the other side. I love what he's doing.
I don't know if he's the best because Jared Goff is pretty darn good.
Jordan Brock Love, Purdy? When he's on, is very good
Brock
as well.
Brock Purdy is very good.
Prescott.
Now, those guys can't run like Daniels. That's the
correct
problem.
What about Sam Darnold? He's thrown multiple touchdowns in every game.
I just like
a
guy.
You have to throw these names out there.
You have to.
There's some pretty good quarterbacks
in
the NFC.
He might be playing the best. You can debate that, but I don't know if he is the best.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to call us in the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines.
The fact that he's even in the discussion I'm not going to go hard either way. Yeah. You say a guy, and I'm not going to argue with you. But the fact that he's even in the discussion is insane.
It's amazing for the franchise.
Yeah.
He's a franchise changer.
I really think he
is. Through four games. I mean, that's what he looks like.
And yeah. I don't even think you ever need to bring the other number two pick. There's no comparison between his skill set.
Never mentioning him ever again.
His toolbox and the other guys.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go through this real quick, and you can get your buzzer ready.
All right.
Okay? So the statement was, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC. True or false? Jason wants to change definition. He's playing better. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
No, all
right, true or false?
No, I did answer your question. I said no. I said he might be playing the best, but is he the best? No.
Is Jaden Daniels better than Geno Smith?
Would I rather have Jaden Daniels than Geno Smith? Yes.
I would rather have Jaden at this point.
Derek
just
Carr.
Because
I'm just going to go through some.
Because of the youth factor, too.
I'm going to go
Geno's
through some
like 33.
Better NFC quarterbacks. Derek Carr.
No. I mean, he's better than
Kirk Cousins, your boy Kirky.
It pains me to say it, but he's better than Kirky.
You mentioned Jordan Love before.
Love's pretty good.
I think Love's pretty good.
Three picks. I mean,
it's okay. He was coming off an injury. It's okay.
He was really good in the second half, but yes, he did throw three picks.
Won a Super Bowl, Matthew Stafford.
At this point, I'd rather have Jaden.
Dak Prescott.
Well, hold on. Stafford's a better quarterback if he's got his two receivers.
Potentially.
Stafford could really spin it.
He's a zero with his legs.
Correct.
A big, fat zero.
All these guys are zeros with their legs.
A lot of them,
Cousins and Carr and all
that. That's what's really tipping cakes.
Dak.
The legs are really, really tipping this
game. Once they're down at the 10-yard line, I mean, he's a threat to run anywhere, but he's certainly a threat at the goal line.
Yeah.
Those other guys are not.
Dak Prescott.
Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Jaden.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Keep crossing.
I mean, Dak led the league in passing and touchdowns last year.
Right.
Baker Mayfield.
I mean, he's on a bona fide heater. Still rather have Jaden.
Jared Goff.
Jaden.
Jalen Hurts.
I'd rather have Goff.
Jaden. I've got Jaden Mania.
Brock Purdy.
Jaden.
He's the best NFC team.
Can I baptize you?
You didn't put Sam Darnold in there.
I didn't. Yeah, Sam
Darnold. You'd rather have Jaden. You're going to say Jaden.
Jaden.
Hey, can I baptize you? Are you ready to become a diehard?
I'm pretty vulnerable.
Are you ready to become a diehard?
I might be ready.
Will you cry if we lose to the Browns?
No, I can't.
Will you feel terrible?
I don't think I can go that hard.
He won't.
See, like, that's, it
He'll
has
never
to be
feel
organic.
Terrible. He's a fantasy
you
guy.
You have to feel terrible when we lose.
I don't know if I'll feel
terrible.
I'm just bad. I'm just being honest with you here.
Eric, he'll feel bad if, because Daniels is on one of his fantasy teams.
How many?
Two?
He's on at least one.
Yeah, if he gets injured.
He's on one that really matters.
Yes. That's when he'll start to
like
cry.
An important one.
800-636-1067. Do you believe Jaden Daniels already is the best quarterback in the NFC? AFC's got Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow, but in the NFC, there's some good quarterbacks.
I'm not going to say he's better than those guys, like at the very top. But I would say, and it's conflating the question, but I would say I'd rather have him at his age than those other guys at 35, 34, 33,
certainly.
32, 31. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's a different question.
But he's not the better. He's a better running quarterback than all those guys you mentioned, but he's not the best overall quarterback.
But not yet.
Because Jared Goff went to an NFC championship.
I might go Purdy.
Purdy went to Super Bowl.
Purdy is
awesome. I think he's awesome. What are you going to say, Drab?
Well, I'm just saying, if you guys are just talking about this year, how can you say he's better than Baker? What Baker's done so far.
Because you're just not a believer.
And Baker beat him head-to-head.
But you guys are just creating scenarios for everything. Obviously, if you're starting from scratch and you got a 23-year-old quarterback and he's so impressive so far, you're going to take him over guys like Sam Darnold and Geno or guys that
have... Most of them.
Or Baker.
Most of them.
Yeah, of course. But you say right now... I don't know if you can make the argument that he's playing better than Baker's played already
Baker's
this year.
Baker's been really good.
On QBR, he's 13th. Jaden's fourth.
Well, it's been the last 2 weeks. That's what happens when you put up 80 points in 2 weeks.
Right.
You get elevated to what Damian Woody's saying. He's the best in the NFC.
Jaden's played four NFL games.
Yeah.
Compared to how many for Baker Mayfield? How many games has he started?
I know, but his question was, who's the best in the NFC right now? That was his question.
Right.
Yeah, I think I still would say there are other quarterbacks that are better. But he is playing as well, if not better, than those guys.
Sam Darnold is ranked 2/10 or 2/100, whatever the hell that is, two-tenths higher than Jaden on QBR.
Right.
So, I mean, it's
he's
hard
been remarkably
to
efficient.
Now, an old-school metric, he's much better, I mean, and he's got 11 touchdowns versus 3 passing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jared Goff just went 18 for 18 last night. Why are we talking about him?
It was a really nice performance.
Overrated. I really do. I don't know.
How's he overrated?
His star turn is crazy to me.
I think the reason why you're not talking about him this year is because this year he only has one more touchdown than interceptions.
Okay,
I think
but
going into that game, he was 3-1, touchdowns
and he's coming off a year where they went to the conference championship.
I know. Listen, you're right. I'm probably wrong. I just have a hard time anointing Jared Goff.
I think people put him lower because he's carried by Gibbs and Montgomery. Like, they're the stars of that offense, and to me, Goff is like, kind of takes a back seat to them.
Jason's
well, I mean,
a Goff guy.
He gets the ball to
you're
one of the best
guy.
Receivers.
You're a Goff and a May guy.
You're a Goff guy.
Well, I think you can't overlook what Dak does, too. Dak's been terrible in the postseason, mm-hmm. but he puts up huge numbers.
Right.
And he only has one threat. He's got one weapon.
Yep. Mm-hmm. CD.
He's got the worst offense, or it's got one of the worst running games in the league.
I think mm-hmm. Dak is pretty good. In years past, I'd been thrilled to have Dak. Now I'd rather have my guy.
Well, yeah, because
of the youth.
Yeah, and the running ability.
Yeah.
I see that.
But at a minimum, he's in the conversation.
He's
now.
In the conversation for the, I mean, which is crazy. Now, if we go out, and again, if we lose to the Browns, it's going to be humiliating. It's going to be deflating. And God only knows, my whole outlook on a season could change.
It'll ruin your week if they lose to the Browns.
It always ruins my week. Yeah, that's the difference between you and me. That's
true,
the difference.
But losing to the Browns, like they can't even score 20 points, that's worse than like losing to the 49ers, who are like a capable team.
Of course.
Depends on who the caliber of the opponent
it'll
is.
It'll be humiliating.
Speaking of the Browns, true or false, the Browns didn't re-sign Joe Flacco because the organization didn't want to deal with fans if Watson played poorly, calling for Flacco to play.
I'd say that's true.
They deny it, but there are a couple of reporters in Cleveland and say that's what they did. They didn't want Flacco back because they thought the fans would boo Deshaun
and
want Joe Flacco in.
Flacco clearly outplayed Deshaun when he took over for him. And Flacco has proved capable. He did it this past weekend when Anthony Richardson went down.
He just gets it done.
Boop, Josh Downs, there's a touchdown for you. I can't remember who he threw the second one to, but he threw two touchdowns with the quickness. Joe Flacco is a high-level backup.
Yeah, he is. It looks like the game, it just runs so much slower. Everything is just slow for him.
Right.
Well, I heard Herm Edwards say this, and it's so true. He said, well, when Flacco comes in, he's seen everything.
Right.
He's seen everything.
So, and if I'm too high, he knows how to attack that.
Shane
he sees Steichen, cover one, whatever he's seen.
Look, I love dual threat
he's
quarterbacks. I love Anthony Richardson's skill set. I don't love the fact that he's throwing picks in the end zone on 5-yard passes. I love his rocket arm, but if I'm Steichen and he's not 100%, I'm going to say, hey, kid, watch this pro. Watch how he works. Try to learn some things from him. You're going to take a seat on the sideline for a few weeks. I'm going to ride that Flacco bandwagon.
I wonder if Browns fans are chanting for Jameis.
I'm sure some of them are.
Especially if they lose again and they're 1-4.
Right.
That'd be
that drum beat is getting louder.
But you know what? There's nothing they can do. They gave him $1 billion.
Well, if Stefanski...
I mean, they can bench him.
If Stefanski has a pair, he'll just say, I can't play this guy any longer. Look at what he's doing to the offense.
Well, yeah, Jameis ain't going to win either, though.
Probably not.
True or false, Aaron Rodgers hates his head coach, Robert Slaw.
So true. It's the truest thing you've ever said.
I thought you were going to say true or false, he's washed up. And that would have been true.
A week ago, we thought he was good.
He was terrible this past week.
So Aaron Rodgers had the hug or non-hug, was that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then this week, Saleh, who's backtracked, at first kind of blamed Rodgers and the cadence issues for all the penalties, and then he backtracked, but he said, we've got to figure out whether or not we're good enough or ready to handle all the cadence.
Yeah, that's not going to sit well with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the most powerful person in that building, and he knows that Saleh is a stooge, and if he wants him fired, he'll get him fired. Isn't his guy Nate Hackett the offensive coordinator? Or
Yes.
No, that's correct.
Then he just gets, he elevates his guy to the head coach. He basically single-handedly performs a coup
Maybe.
Behind the scenes and gets Saleh out of there.
But Rodgers also has to play better.
That's true.
I mean,
without a doubt,
he can't get the ball to his best receiver.
And that's a problem.
Now, his best receiver likes to fumble the ball after he catches it.
That's true.
But he can't get to him.
All right, you can call us right now at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. Get lined up for your chance to win tickets to see Metallica at Northwest Stadium. 800-636-1067. We'll play Name That Metallica Tune next for your chance to win. Don't forget Jonathan Allen from your first place in the NFC East, Washington Commanders, will join us in just about 15 minutes. He does that every Tuesday during the NFL season, so looking forward to talking to him as they're victorious coming back from the desert. But we're lining people up right now for the chance to win tickets to see Metallica M72 Tour. It stops at Northwest Stadium Wednesday, May 28th. Special guests, Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies. Tickets are on sale now. Those tickets are courtesy of Live Nation. And we're going to go back to just Name This Metallica Tune. We're going to play a snippet of some of their deeper cuts from their catalog. If you can identify it, you win. It's that easy. I mean, it's the simplest game ever.
It's just not easy to identify it.
I mean, if you're a big Metallica fan, you're probably going to identify it.
All right, so should I pull up, like, say, for example, Tom first? Let's just pull him up, Tom and Leesburg.
Whoever's been on hold the longest is the way we've been doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't read those numbers from here.
You want me to go Tom on four?
Yeah, we're going to start with Tom, Andy, Mike, and Don.
All right. Okay. All
right. Tom?
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy, you a big fan?
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you saw him?
Back in 2022.
All right.
Okay, relatively recently.
You had a bunch of tattoos, long hair, kind of ugly?
No. Oh,
okay. EB is stereotyping Metallica fans. That's what he's doing.
Kinda.
He's actively doing that.
Kinda.
All right, here is your first crack. If you can identify this song, you're going to go see Metallica live.
You know this, Cakes?
I do. I gave
Shortest Straw.
He got it.
Wow.
He nailed it.
Nice.
The Shortest Straw, you win. You got two tickets to Metallica M72 Tour with special guest Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies Wednesday, May 28th at Northwest Stadium. Tickets available right now, courtesy of Live Nation. That was off the And Justice for All album, EB, in case you were wondering about that. I'm sure you were.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that was
so how old is
really
that song?
Well done. Did that come
out in like 90 or 91?
That's pre-Metallica Black album, so I'm guessing that song came out in like 19, definitely
89?
During my college
odyssey.
I feel
like I was in college when that came
out. Like 89 or 90? Wow. I'm guessing. I don't know the release date of that album, but it's somewhere around there.
That was a 9-second clip.
Mm-hmm.
Credit to him, props.
He knew it. Yeah.
Crushed it.
So Andy, Mike, and Don,
they're all finished.
We're going to play again tomorrow.
Only have one pair of tickets.
The intros, they all sound fairly similar. It's like the drum and...
Well, you just have an untrained ear when it comes to listening to Metallica.
For sure.
My ear is trained. Now, I also have mild hearing loss, but I have a trained ear.
And how do you pronounce tinnitus?
Tinnitus.
He's been saying tinnitus for 10 years.
I know, I thought
years.
You were right.
Yeah, but I went to a legitimate ear doctor.
And they call it tinnitus?
It's going to take me a while to pronounce it correctly.
Tinnitus.
That's the correct way to pronounce
it. Okay. Cakes,
I think I'll still always call it tinnitus.
That's fine.
I did something during a commercial break a couple breaks ago that I don't think I've ever done before online.
Okay.
I ordered a book. and not like a Kindle, like a hardcover
book, brick and mortar book.
What? Still barking?
Not still barking.
Nice
but
one.
I actually ordered a book.
Oh, hold on. Don't now.
It has to be in the golf genre.
It's a golf instruction book.
Just like he did during his honeymoon.
It's like kind of a classic book from like 15 years ago or whatever. Yeah. But I'm just kind of in a wormhole and I want to read the definitive original book.
Okay.
And... I don't even know where bookstores are anymore.
I mean, did you go to Amazon?
I went to Amazon. Yeah,
I mean, that's Amazon. How they started. Obviously,
now,
they sold books.
I have ordered like Kindle versions.
Yeah,
In the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But this is I literally ordered a book.
I had to.
Good for you.
Who wrote the book?
Andy Plummer and some other guy. I don't know who the other guy's name. You won't know.
Andy Plummer, what's he? Is he a golf instructor?
I'll tell you about it during the break. I don't want to get into Jake Plummer. I don't want to get into the weeds on it.
Speaking of books, I had to wave the white flag on a book that I was reading. Now, I attempted to read it because my son bought it for me.
Was it a fiction book?
It was fiction.
Oh, I'm not into fiction.
And it's a classic.
I'm out on fiction.
It's a classic, Crime and Punishment.
Heard of it.
Yeah, but that's old.
It's butt old.
Who wrote that?
Dostoevsky?
Oh, you mean, is it like a, so it's like a legit classic?
Oh,
like,
it's a legit classic, yeah.
So why on earth would you read that? You're a grown-up.
Because my son gave it to me.
It's a Russian novel.
It's a Russian novel.
The janitor or the doctor?
It's my youngest son.
Okay. But he reads Dostoevsky?
He thought I would like that book for some reason.
You're raising different animals over there, man. That's pretty impressive.
That book stinks on 1,000 sheets of ice. I had to punt it. I couldn't get through it. I did read, I think, 150 pages of it, and I said,
"Were you absorbing it, or were you just reading it mindlessly?"
No, I'm absorbing what's happening.
What is it about?
It's about a guy who's thinking about killing a pawnbroker, right?
Well, he does wind up killing at least one person so far, but it's so tedious and so boring.
Why is it a classic? What's so great about it? Does he have a silly literary style?
I was trying to figure that out.
Why this guy's famous?
The 150 pages.
Yeah,
I can't figure it out. Now maybe I'm just stupid and it's going over my head. Punted it away.
According to Wiki, it's often cited as one of the greatest works of world literature.
Okay, well,
I've actually never heard of it.
All those people.
It follows the mental anguish and moral dilemmas of Rodion Raskolnikov.
It's a terrible book. And I appreciate myself for trying to broaden my horizon.
I can't believe at your age you tried to read a classic. Like, that's something you do in high school because your teacher forces you.
Here are the classics I think I could handle.
I did it once, though, on vacation. I did To Kill a Mockingbird.
Here are the classics I know I can handle.
That's the worst vacation ever.
Frankenstein. Give me Frankenstein by Mary Shelley. I can read that because I've seen the movie. I know what it's about. And it's about a monster.
Crime and Punishment was a movie.
I would never watch it.
Crispin Glover was the
Was it based on the book? Was it based on the book?
I assume, yeah. It's the same guy. Rodion Raskolnikov.
Dostoevsky.
Is it his most famous work? Is that why he's famous for that book?
I think that's probably his crowning achievement. I don't know.
For some reason, I've heard of Dostoevsky.
Yeah, he's like a famous author. I'll never read any of his works ever again.
Yeah.
My brain can't handle it.
Did you tell your son that?
I told him, yeah. I said,
is he disappointed in you?
No, he's okay. He's two butt sized for he wanted
his second book.
Jaden Daniels jersey. By the way, I brought this up yesterday. I was wondering, where's Jaden Daniels jersey sales? Number one.
Yeah.
On Fanatics.
Oh, wow. What does that tell you, Jason? Yeah.
And my son sent me that, and he's like, I may have to contribute to this. I said, buy it, and I'll Venmo you the money. Buy yourself a Jaden jersey.
Oh, really? You're going to support him on that? Is he buying
the official?
Of course
I'm going to
support him. Is he buying the official?
I don't know what he bought. I hope he bought a replica, because an official's like $300. Yeah.
So,
but if that's what he bought, it's fine.
So Dostoevsky, whatever you pronounce his name, Crime and Punishment in 1866.
It's his most acclaimed novel. I can't tell you
his
how
next
bad
book
it is.
Was about Cakes reading Crime and Punishment. The Idiot, 1869.
Good zing. I'll never read another word by that hack author.
Now, I don't think he's a classic, but he's a famous author.
He's definitely butt famous.
No, I'm bringing up a new one.
Oh, somebody else.
This is what I used to read when I was in like middle school. I got butt size for Alfred Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock books.
Was he an author?
I don't know. They were books.
That, like,
and
adaptations from
maybe. I don't know which came first.
Director. God,
you love the birds.
Movies.
Birds, butt scary when you're young.
I don't know. I used to get sized. I used to read that.
I couldn't imagine. Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yeah. But for some reason, I was reading the books.
Yeah.
Mysteries. Get sized for mysteries.
You know what? I think I'm just going to stay away from the classics.
That great idea.
I'm not a classics guy.
Last time I read anything was in Buck's class.
I think you like Coke Classic.
Buck off it.
I do like Coke Classic. That is true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Stay away.
No, but I ordered a book, a real hardcover book, and I can't wait till it gets delivered. I can't wait.
It's going to be a page turner.
Yeah. My mom gives me books every year.
Oh, I can only imagine what books those
she
are.
She goes to the
Book of Job, Book of Genesis, Book of
I have a few
New
Bibles.
Testament, Old Testament.
No, they're always like she tries to blend in my love of sports. So she'll get me like Kurt Warner's book,
Tim Tebow's book.
Yeah. Book. You know what I'm saying?
Tim Tebow's book. It's always things, definitely, like yeah.
Yeah. I got a lot of those.
My aunt used to do that. And Janine.
Yeah.
She, 1 year, we were all like 10 years old. All the cousins, she gave us all a children's Bible for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Can you imagine being that age and opening your present, all size?
You're all pumped.
Yeah, my cake's got a new bike. Yeah. You got a children's Bible.
All right, when we come back, we are going to talk to Jonathan Allen, Commanders defensive tackle. He's going to talk to us about the beatdown that happened in Arizona as the Commanders improved to 3-1. We'll be right back.